Father, we want to thank you. Oh, we praise you for your good word of God. We thank you, Lord, for all that's here tonight. We thank you that you'll speak a word in season. We thank you about the Holy Spirit living inside of me that called me by his grace will enable me to speak the words of life to the people. We thank you that people will leave here with hearts that have been released in the Spirit, that they'll be freely delivered from all that loads them up in life and that they've been heavy laden and burdened down. But Father, deliverance is here. The deliverer is in the house. According to your word, your anointed word that will break every banner. We thank you, Father, with the Holy Spirit. We invite him to come and teach us and lead us and direct our lives. We thank you for the angels of God that are present in this house. We thank you, Lord God, that there will be miraculous revelations and healings and deliverances as the word of God goes forth in power. When people receive that, there'll be a dynamic change immediately in their physical bodies, in their lives, in their minds and emotions, turning the things around that were down low but will be lifted up. We thank you that we are the head and not the tail, that we are above and not beneath. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We call those things which be not as though they were. We thank you for every trial and every trouble that people are in right now. That's going to be changed and turned around for the good. What the devil has brought for bad, you're going to make it good. Thank you, Lord. We praise you in advance for every miraculous move of the Spirit. In our lives, we praise you for our brother and sister. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and everybody said amen and amen. Praise God. All right, be seated. I'm excited tonight because I don't know what I'm going to say. And they're asking for notes, but I'll give Luke some notes. He likes my notes. Luke, if you can make sense out of my notes, I'll give you $1 million in the next realm. And you won't need it then over there. So thank God. Well, I want to welcome you, those of you that have been visiting with us tonight. We thank God that you're here. I know we have Miss Elnor from the great place of Ignace. What a wonderful place to be. It's a hot spot in the summertime. Go there and ride a plane. Praise God. She's got planes, and she's a plain Indian. No, I'm just kidding. Right. So, what are you, Navajo? What are you?
Algonquin.
So all you Ojibways, I think we're related a little bit. So we have Ojibwees in here too, and a few Polish people. So we're all one, praise God. Amen? We do have an Ojibwee over here, or your Cree, Swampy Cree. I'm Cree too, and then a little bit of Greek, praise God. Amen? hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to edit this program. I know it because it has to be edited. Glory to God. Amen. Why don't we stand one more time? Come on, we stand one more time. Come on, everybody stand one more time. I want you to give God the best shout you can have, the best praise you can have. Come on, let's go do it right now. Come on, 1, 2, 3. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hey, listen. The Bible says, Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And you don't have to be a singer. If you can make some noise, we're doing all right. Amen? That's why I said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Some people, like, they're shy, they don't want to sing. Just go ahead and start making noise. Glory to God. Amen? We come into the presence of God with joy and singing and thanksgiving. Thank God. The Bible says, come on in and with dancing and praise and... Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Lord, again, let's go ahead and praise him. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you. All right, be seated. We don't want to get carried away too much. I think we already got carried away a little bit. But I want you to go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. We want to talk about hope, the blueprint of faith. And I'm going to attempt to talk about this a little bit because I think we need some hope. I mean, winter's been too long. And it got warm for one day. Then I got real cold again. And so we are just hoping. But we want to get Bible hope, not just, you know, natural hope. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, King James Version. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Everybody say, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. You know, it's easy to be to get drifted away from the hope of the gospel. Sometimes it's easy to take a detour and land somewhere else where you're not supposed to. But I believe that God wants us to be steadfast. Amen. Immovable. Glory to God. That we don't have to be moved by different things, that circumstances that try to move us out of the way. And, you know, it's easy to go and go away from some truths of the gospel. Because, you know, natural situations can move you away from different things. And so it says that if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, we need to be grounded in the Word of God. And, like, you know, sometimes people seek after spectacular isms. You know, they like to have, I mean, I love running around and I love moving the Spirit and jumping and laughing, but, you know, Monday is tomorrow. And yeah, go back to work and you got to go back to do different things. And so I love, you know, meetings like that, but it doesn't really change you a whole lot. It might be half an hour about there. And then you have to come back, and you can do that yourself. You can stir yourself at home and fall on the floor and pray for yourself and so on, you know. So notice, let's finish the rest of it. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to you to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, made a minister. So we hear the preaching of the gospel, and it gives us the hope that we need. You know, Bible hope and human hope or natural hope are two different things. You know, if you hope for something, you have to, you know, we always talk about hope as being futuristic, that something is going to happen from this point on, somewhere around there, maybe a minute, maybe 2 hours, maybe 4 days, could be 4 months. Hope is always something that's going to happen. And we need to understand that Bible hope is a whole lot different from natural human hope. You know, when you're having natural human hope, you're kind of guessing that something might happen. But Bible hope is not like guessing something might happen, or it might happen, or maybe, or there's a percentage something is going to happen. And this is not the Bible hope we're talking about. Real Bible hope is that I got something is about to happen any second. It is sure as anything else. I might not have it right now, but I have it in my heart. It's going to happen as sure as I'm standing here. Something is about to change in my life. Praise God. Amen. I might not have the healing right now, but I have it in my heart. And there's something's changing. Amen. I know my marriage is not what it's supposed to be right now, but something's changing. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And, you know, this is Bible hope. We're talking about Bible hope. And sometimes people lose hope, and they end their own lives. And people who lose hope, maybe they lost businesses, they lost money, lots of money, and they jump out of windows. And, you know, if you got a basement apartment, you don't have to worry about that. But if you live on a 27th floor, you might, if you thought about that, you could hurt yourself or get killed. But there's people who, you know, I heard in the Great Depression, there's been people jumping out of windows and dying because they didn't see any hope without their money. So their hope was in their money. Come on now. Their hope is in their money, or when someone dies, or their husband leaves them and they end their lives. But, you know, your hope is not in your wife or husband. If they leave, hope they can come back for supper or something. But you want to make sure you're a good cook. But the thing about it, when somebody, leaves, you don't put your hope in one person. Don't put your hope on a thing or money or your career. You could lose your career tomorrow. If you were a singer, you lose your voice, you lost your career. You know what I'm saying? It's like the opera singer. Some of you heard about my opera singer, right? The opera singer, it's like an opera. It's like when you get stabbed in the back, and it's like the man getting stabbed in the back, and he doesn't do anything else, but he doesn't bleed. He just sings. That's like an opera singer. But anyway, you don't get that. That's fine. We need to understand that we shouldn't lose hope. So Bible hope is not maybe. Bible hope is not, something might happen, or there's a percentage it could happen. Bible hope is a sure thing something is going to happen. But it's not here right now, but it's going to happen. So there is a different thing with Bible hope is that you have to receive it right now. Bible hope is like, I know I have it right now. You can't see it right now. I can't see it. I can't feel it, but I got it. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, I got it. Say, I got it. Say, I got it. Say, I got it. I got it. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. We got to sing that song. Some people say, well, you can't lose your, you can't, get your hopes too high. you pray for somebody and they say, don't get that guy's hopes too high. Well, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get his hopes real high so that he can grasp and get what he's supposed to get. You got to have hope before you have faith. If you got no hope, you don't have any faith. And you got to have both of those. They're a sure thing. Bible hope gives you the blueprint for getting what you need. Bible hope is the blueprint, that you need for faith. And that's our definition, by the way. So people say, well, you shouldn't get your hopes up too high. You're a goner here. I had an aunt who had that, and she died. If you're looking for hope, don't go to that person. I wouldn't want them to pray for me. So you want to find somebody who's got hope in God. Yeah. Amen. Hope in God is like, woo, I'm excited, man. They say, why are you excited? You shouldn't be that happy. Because I seen that pastor pray for you. You're still limping around here, and you're happy. You don't get your hopes so high. Did you get it? Oh, yeah. Praise God, I have it. Woo, I got it. I got it. Whoa, I got it. So the devil doesn't want you to have any hope at all. But he'll give you dope, though. I'm saying? You just say, have some dope here, you have some hope. But no, dope doesn't give you anything. And hope, you got to have hope because the devil wants to destroy every kind of idea you have that God has done something for you already and that you're going to go somewhere better than where you are. You're going to go where you want to go to. And that is someplace better than what you have. So he don't want you to have hope. He's going to do everything he can to destroy your future. Because hope is, naturally, hope is always something futuristic that is going to happen because your faith is in God. So Bible hope is a whole lot different. Bible hope is like, it's a sure thing. And so if you don't have hope, as I mentioned, you can't have faith. You got to have hope first before you have faith. The Bible says, Hebrews 11:1, that faith is a substance. It's a substance of things that you hope for. Another, I think the Amplified says that faith is a confidence of what you hope for. So you got to have, you know, you got to have hope, you know, before you can get your faith. So you want to get you some faith by going to the Bible. Amen? Say, so I'm going to get me some food after the service. No, go get yourself some hope. Amen? I hope to get chicken sandwiches after this service. But I don't know if anybody's going to give me some chicken sandwiches. He said, get your own chicken sandwich. Well, I could ask. Baba said, ask. If you don't have hope, you can't have any sandwiches or chicken sandwiches. So hope is valid because it precedes faith. You know, hope always comes before faith. You have to have hope in something. You know, we see people who end their lives because they say, well, he had no hope. We see doctor reports. Doctor reports says that when someone, you know, I've heard this whole story of people who've died, they shouldn't have died, and the doctor said, well, they didn't have any hope. They just gave up. They gave up believing. They gave up whatever hope they had. The devil stole it. Somehow the devil said they didn't have a future. You know, I've seen a lot of our First Nations young people end their lives because they don't have hope. How am I going to get out of this poverty? And how am I going to get out of this abuse? And so we're sending this message across the nation, praise God. Amen? We want to give hope to people. Real hope, praise God. Amen? Amen. That it's a sure thing that we got something. And so that's why the Lord put us on television, or at least the Lord put me on television, and spoke through a prophet of God. And I'm sitting in the front row, the prophet of God, he woke up, or he was preaching, and I'm sitting in the front row, and the prophet said, Pastor Roma, I see you on television, right across the nation, just in a very short time. And I said, well, how can that ever be? I'm a virgin. No, I'm just kidding. So how could that ever be, you know? That's what Mary said, right? Mary said she didn't have any kind of hope like that. Said, Gabriel, I guess it was Gabriel, right, came to Mary and said, hey, Dad, Mary, listen, y'all going to have a baby next year. She said, I don't have a man. How could this be? Well, she didn't think it could happen. And the angel said, what's impossible with man? Nothing's possible with God, but all things are possible with God. Yeah. Everybody say, all things are possible.
All things are possible.
Talk to your neighbor, say, all things are possible.
All things are possible.
Amen? Amen. See, it's possible. See, like right now, you might not think it's possible for you to have whatever item you believe in God for, whatever thing you believe in God for. But you see, if you put your hope in God, that becomes possible all of a sudden. Put God in the equation, and all of a sudden, you're going somewhere. Other than Suckle Creek. Amen. Praise God. This little boy from Suckle Creek running around with no pants on, and all of a sudden, I'm on television. As a little kid, my cousin would laugh at that. You know, I take my clothes off, run around with no clothes on in the reserve. Well, I didn't know anything. I liked the natural. as a little boy, see? I mean, we're editing this thing. Okay, so you're all adults, and keep your mind clean, right? Okay? So anyway, we need hope. So all of a sudden, you put God on the scene, and all of a sudden, things start to change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because with God, all things are possible. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Is that true or not true?
Yeah, true?
Suddenly, you know, the angel said, okay. Angel says, Mary says, yeah, angel, listen, be it done according to as you said. And that's good. So all of a sudden, you come here tonight, you got no money. It's like I'm sitting there, and the prophet said, in a few short time, I don't know if it's months, I think it's months or something, you're going to be on television. I'm sitting there. I didn't have no camera. I didn't have an iPhone even. Amen? The prophet, all of a sudden, my stories are getting crossed here. Well, he seemed like an angel. And he said that, and so I said, well, Well, it scared me a little bit. You know, it scares you because you know how much money it costs to be on television to buy one camera? You kidding me? At that time, one camera cost $50,000. We don't have that kind of money around here. We don't have that kind of money. But that's what happened, see? So all of a sudden, everything is possible for God to do what you're supposed to do. You know? So in a short time, I'm doing the work. And I had a call from the man of God, said, listen, you know, this is what I'd like to do. Would you be interested? I said, I might. And I'll pray about it. I got to ask the Lord, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. See what happens. And sure, everything happened in the right time. So hope is very valid. We need to have hope. And sometimes we put hope, you know, sometimes around here in some places, they just got hope, you know, well, that's just a secondary to faith, you know. But you need hope. I don't know, I'm stressing that real strong tonight because you need hope. Everybody said, I need hope. Look at your neighbor and say, you need lots of hope. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And so, Hebrews 11:1 says that in the King James Version, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. You know, there's things right now that you're hoping for. That word hope in that verse in the scripture does not mean, like I said, hope is like maybe, you know, I might have that. It may happen, and I wish it would happen. Bible hope is not wishing.
Amen?
Amen? Say Bible hope is not wishing. See, that's not, you know, when we talk about Bible hope, that's not wishing. Like, you know, I wish I was, you know, in Miami or something. Well, you know, you might get a job. You could go there. You know, you could take a train. I mean, you might take a train. But you could go somewhere. But, you know, one day you say, well, I hope to get there soon. But right now I'm busy. I'm getting there. But, you know, you know you're getting there. So that's what it's like when you have that. So hope is a living force, you know, like love and faith. These are forces that work on your behalf to get where you're supposed to go with God. So hope is the same way. It's a force of God in your life. You're going to go where you're supposed to go. So the meaning of hope, again, one more time. The Bible definition of hope is, hope is the blueprint of faith. So you got to see it in your mind's eye. You got to see it in your heart. It has to be imprinted inside you in your spirit. And then your faith materializes that hope into natural manifestation. And it takes a little bit longer sometimes, depending on how big what you're believing for. How where your faith is at? Maybe you didn't have any before. You're still building on your foundation of that blueprint, and you're building. You're getting the scriptures, and the scriptures are you putting in your heart, and you're seeing it with your mind's eye, and you're grasping it, and all of a sudden faith is there, and you're building that foundation, and all of a sudden you got it. Oh, I got it. Amen. So, another Bible definition of faith is confident expectation. Bible hope is confident expectation. Everybody say confident expectation. Everybody say it together. Confident expectation. One more time. Confident expectation. That's what Bible hope is. You're confident. And having confidence is having faith. See, when you have hope, you have to have it like right now. If you're believing God for something in the future or whatever, you got to believe it like right now. And I don't have time to teach all the ABCs of faith, but, you know, basically faith, you know, you have to know, number one, what it is. What is faith? What's the meaning of faith? Everybody has their own meaning, but we want to know what the supernatural Bible, Word of God says that what faith is. You have to know what faith is, number one. Number two, you got to know how to get it. Where do I get faith? Do I buy it at Walmart? Where do I get it from? Do I get it by praying? Does somebody have to lay hands on me? How do I get faith? No, you don't get faith by any one of those places. You get it by the Word of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And people have faith in their heart, and their future looks bad because of what somebody told them about what they can't do. So I can give you faith by telling you what God says, what you can do. See, God can take anybody, any plain person, and make him into a champion, even though he doesn't feel like one or doesn't look like one. His family background shouldn't say he shouldn't be one, but God can make that person what he wants him to be because he's got the Word of God in him. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? You can clap if you want. Let's all clap together. Hey? Woo! Yeah. We gotta get happy. You know, the Word of God works when you get happy about it. So you got to know, number one, what faith is. Number two, you got to know how to get it. And number three, you got to know how to use your faith. Do you know how to use your faith? You have to open your mouth. See, faith has to be released from your mouth. That's the only way it works. And then if you say something, you have to be congruent with your faith. You can't say, well, I believe something, and you act something different another way. You know? You got to believe that you have something and then act like it's so, like put a smile on your face. You know? See, like you might have odds against you right now, what the doctor said about you and, you know, about your grandpa or you, whatever it is. You have bad news about whatever in your life. But you got to smile, put a smile on your face. If you got Bible hope, you're just smiling like you just eat a possum, somebody said. And you're smiling away. Amen? Around here, we eat a rabbit or something. You know? I remember I told a story about my dad. My dad used to get real happy when he used to cut wood. He loved cutting wood. But it wasn't about the wood. It was what was in the wood pile. My mom would say to him, hey, Mac, you've been drinking again. He said, no, I haven't. He said, I can tell by that pussycat look on your face. Because he'd get relaxed and he'd get a smile, automatic smile on his face because that alcohol would get him all relaxed and he'd smile like a pussycat. You know how pussycats are? And they fall asleep kind of like, you know, in the hot sun, and they're like, they like it there. But that, my dad was that way, see? And he, you can tell if he had a drink or two, maybe or three or four. So you got to have the pussycat look if you got confident hope in you. Come on now. See, I've got that pussycat look. Amen? You got to have it, praise God. Amen? Get all happy about it. Say, why is he so happy? You don't have any money. Well, I got some hope, man, praise God. I went to church. Woo-hoo-hoo! I went to church tonight. Yeah. We're going to have something, man. Praise God. Amen? Glory to God. That's why I like this church. You guys are all happy in this church, you know? Okay. Praise God. Amen. when you lose hope, you know, you're not very happy. You ever find some people who don't have any hope? They're just not happy at all. They say they're down in the dumps. What happened? Well, we thought we had something. We don't have it now. Well, what happened? Well, you know, so-and-so's not here. Or they took all the money. You know, well, we can't buy groceries now. Well, we don't have any hope. You know, so you lose hope because you put trust in certain people. How many people put... If you put trust in people, you're going to lose hope real quickly. You know, and we put a lot of expectations on people, and we shouldn't do that. Yeah, thank God we should have some expectation, but not a lot that you crush them up. Because people fall, and they're not, you know, like Sidney Crosby. He's not human. I put that on my Facebook. Okay, it's a joke. Because some people don't know what I'm talking about. What kind of pastor is that anyway? Talking about hockey suddenly. So, here's somebody talking to himself, Psalm 42. Reading from verse 5, Message Bible. So why are you so cast down? Or King James says, why are you so cast down, O my soul? The Message Bible says, why are you so down in the dumps? Dear soul. Now this guy is talking to himself. You ever talk to yourself? I do it all the time. I have to do it all the time. I have to talk to myself because you have to tell yourself how to feel. You got to tell yourself how to feel every day. If you don't tell yourself how to feel, if you don't get a hold of your attitude, somebody else will. You got to take a holy attitude and say, no matter what happens today, I don't care what people say to me. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what whoever says at the office or on my way there. Or if the Tim Hortons donut guy doesn't smile at me and doesn't get me wrong, I'm going to smile my way through this day. I walk into my classroom at the college and tell everybody, listen, everybody, I prayed for you all today. You know? I said, I'll pray for you as I drove around Boulevard Lake. I said, I pray for all my students, and I said, I'm going to have a great day today. But don't try anything. And they say, okay. So they like me. So why am I cast down, oh my soul? I don't know what verse it is. I'm reading Amplified. It doesn't give you exact verses. He says, sometimes when I ask my rock solid God, why did you let me down? Why am I walking around in tears, harassed by enemies? They're out to kill me. These tormentors with their obscenities taunting me day after day. Where is your God? Where is this God of yours anyway? You know, the enemy, this is the, Amplified Bible. This guy, Psalmist, this David, he's writing, you know. He's got a lot of problems. And he's scared. He's got all these responsibilities, just like everybody else. And, he's going to be the next king. And the king is, the king who's in store, he doesn't want him to be king. He wants to kill him for nothing. Accuse them of different things. Anybody ever get accused of anything that they didn't do? He said, why did they accuse me of this stuff? I never ever said that. It hurts when people talk about you on Facebook. Oh, again, get it Facebook involved in this. How did that get in there? So why am I cast down on my soul about Facebook? That's what he would say. Yeah. Why am I cast down on my Twitter? Eh? So people would, people say different things. I mean, that's what he would say in his day. Why am I cast down? So your soul is your thinking ability. It's your seat of consciousness. Your soul is a seat of your consciousness. That's what the Bible tells us. Your soul is different from your spirit. Your spirit is not your soul, and your soul is not your spirit. The Bible teaches that. Some people, they mix it all up together, and that's why they're mixed up. It's only your soul that's born again, your spirit is born again, but your soul is not born again. Will you go to heaven? Yes, because your soul has to follow your spirit. Yeah. So your soul needs renewing. So that's why he's telling himself, he's talking to himself, because when you talk to yourself about God's stuff, you begin to develop some hope in you. You talk to yourself and say, I know this doesn't look good. I told myself this week. I said, I know this doesn't look real good. The odds are against me. I don't have a plan here. I don't have anything. I don't have anything natural to tell me I got what I want to believe, what the doctor said and what the financial situation says. And I don't have that yet. I don't have money. I don't have the answers for the healing. I don't have all this stuff. But praise God, the Bible says I do have it. The Bible says, the children of the righteous are blessed. The home of the righteous will stand, praise God. God supplies every one of my needs. Glory to God. He's healed me, praise God. If I find somebody to talk to, and I kind of move right into that area there, and said, you know, the Bible says healing belongs to me. And I talk to people about it. I make sure I mention it. I make sure it comes out of my mouth, because that's how faith works. That's the way it works. When we sing songs of praise, you know, you're singing songs like, you know, nice hymns and Bible songs. Bible words. It's washing out your brain and your memories, and all of a sudden you start feeling better. Yeah. You come to church and you feel good. There's good music, and all of a sudden, woohoo, something's happening here. I came in heavy now. I'm ready to climb the walls. Hey? I can just run home right now without my car. Just, whoo, who's that there? Who's that? That's Pastor Dave. He goes on to Faith City Church. What does he drink? I don't know. Fire water. Smoke coming out of his ears. Both of his ears. That's what happened to Elijah, right? He ate some angel cakes and he started running. He beat the chariot of the king. The king has the fastest horses and best chariots in the land. He just runs by them. You think that guy, Usain Bolt, was something? Remember Usain Bolt? Not quite. Doesn't feel that way. But anyway, and he ran. Usain Bolt ran fast, but you know. This man, this prophet, he ran. The Bible said he beat the chariot of the king. Oh man, eat some angel cakes, angel foods. The last section there says, "Why are you cast down? Why are you down in the dumps?" He tells himself again, "Dear soul, why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again." He says, "It put a smile on my face. He's my God." So the only way you can get hope is to get that smile on your face is by looking at the Word of God. What does it say about you? You know, it seems to be that goes all out the window whenever your soul takes over your life. Your soul begins to capture you, and then you're dominated by how you feel and what you think about it. Who told you everything you feel is true? Who told you that everything you feel is going to happen the way you feel? Yeah, you might feel that way, but it doesn't necessarily have to go that direction. Who told you how to think? To think the way you think is the right thing. Well, the devil's feeding you garbage all the time. You say, well, this is not going to happen. I know you got healed once, but this time, this is really serious. I know you got some friends to help you last time to get you out of that prayer situation, and God did help you, but this time is just, you know, you've had lots of chances already. God's already done enough for you. See, that's what he wants to tell you. He wants to take every little hope away from you. And all of a sudden, you're walking there. What happened? And then you believe your own feelings. People believe their feelings. The Bible never tells you to believe in your feelings. We walk by how we believe in our feelings. No, we say we walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible talks about faith is the principles of God's word. We walk by principles. What's the principle? What's the spiritual law that we have to use to walk in? We walk by the principles or laws of faith. I was told in Bible school, the Bible is what we govern our lives by. Yeah. Our relationships, our finances, our health. We govern our lives by the Word of God. It's the light of the Word. The Word of God is light. It's revelation knowledge. Amen. Yeah, right. When we need to take the Word of God and apply it to our lives. So when we lose the hope because we start believing in our own prophecy, in our own feelings, in our own thinking. We're not supposed to believe in anyone. Ask yourself, if what I'm thinking, does that line up with the principles of God's word? Ask yourself, is what I'm feeling, is that actually what the Bible says about how it's going to turn out or how it can turn out? But if you start believing in that, yes, it's going to go that direction if you believe in your feelings alone. Now, listen to me. I didn't say deny your feelings. I didn't say, you know, don't acknowledge what you think. Yeah, you have to acknowledge what you think before you can actually change it. And you have to be honest about how you feel and talk to somebody about it so that you can correct it. If you're going to get hope in your life, you got to be able to tell someone how you feel. Express your feeling and say, you know, this is David. He's expressing his feeling to God. He's talking to God. He's displaying his soul in front of God. You know, this is what I feel. I'm so down in the dumps. So why am I feeling that way? That's what he's saying. Because he's not putting his hope in God. He's not expecting God to do anything for him. So we have to place our expectation on God. And that's why Bible hope is confident expectation. You know, swallowing the possum. Being by the woodpile. You know, smiling your face. You know what I'm talking about? There's, you know, Acts 27. In Acts 27, the Bible says that Paul was traveling on board to go to Rome. How many of you have ever been in a plane? Let me see, on a jet plane. Let me see your hand. You've been on a jet plane before? Some of you haven't. Okay. Maybe one day you'll have a jet plane experience. I had my first jet plane experience when I was 12 years old. I went to a training school, a boys' reform school near Ottawa, about 45 miles east of Ottawa, going towards Hawkesbury, which is going towards Montreal. Went to a boys' school, and I was there for a little while. This is where I met your cousin. He was a mean dude. I want to stay away from him. But anyway, I won't talk about him. He's not here right now. Anyway, you know, I don't know why I said that. Well, anyway, we'll forget about that. You lose hope when you put your faith in people, right? Some people restore your hope a little bit. One guy said, you know what? I dropped $20, somebody picked it up and gave it back to me. Restored my hope in all humanity. Oh, wow, that's great. It's only $20, buddy. Besides, that was your kid. So Paul, he's going to Rome. Not on a jet plane, he's on a ship. And first of all, he had an inward witness that this is not going to turn out very good. I just sense in my spirit. You don't tell a captain of a ship, hey, I sense in my spirit something's going to happen to this boat. He's not going to believe Paul. Hey, you're a prisoner. Why should I listen to you? Paul went on that ship. They're sailing across. Remember, this is Acts 27. In Acts chapter 9, Jesus himself appears to Paul. Paul, he says, yeah, Lord. He fell off his horse or a camel. I don't know if he had a donkey or whatever he had. He fell off. He said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you're persecuting. And Paul immediately got blind. And they took him over there, and God spoke to another man, sent him to this other fellow. His name is Paul. And you go lay hands on him and tell him and so talk to him. And that other guy says, I can't believe you helped Paul. That guy is killing the church, man. I can't believe it. One of my college, my college days, I was crazy, and I met some people. Said, Roma, is that really you? You're a pastor now. I said, I am. I am. I can't believe you're a pastor. I said, I am. And some people couldn't believe Paul. He's preaching Jesus Christ. You want me to go lay hands on him? He's going to kill me. This is a trap. That's what most people think. God's sending me on. Why did God send me to Faith City Church? To kill me? They're putting me to work over here. I come to hear the gospel. I want to learn. But they're putting me to work. They say, work on the camera. Go clean the bathroom and everything. So we don't have a whole lot of people joining because they've got to work. This guy loves to work. He catches people for a living now at the church. I heard Ed Wesley dropped something last week. He's getting the instruction. Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, sorry. And the guy lost hope in the ministry. But anyway, Jesus talked to Paul. He said, Paul, listen, you're going to go talk to a lot of guys, kings and all that, leaders and everything else, and don't worry about anything. I'm going to be with you. Well, if you saw Jesus, he knocks you off a horse, you're going to believe him. Right? Well, I'm driving down Pemina, coming from the university Thursday night class, business class. I was doing my master's degree. I'm driving down, going towards Pemina Highway from the University of Manitoba, and the Lord come in my car. He said to me, what are you going to do with the gift I gave you? I didn't know what he's talking about. What are you talking about, a gift? And that's what you guys do, the same thing. God says to me, God tells you, what are you going to do with the gift? You guys don't even know right now. What are you talking about, gift? Well, the Bible says every one of you has a gift. You might be a nurse, but maybe that's not your gift. It's part of your gift. So the Lord said to me, what are you going to do? Then I said, I'm going to get my PhD. I said, you're going to ministry. But I don't want to go to ministry. There's no money in it. Where's the prestige in it? I want to be important. Huh? I want to be like a lawyer or somebody, a professor, you know, somebody who looks sharp, wears nice shoes. So the Lord talked to me, and that's the only reason why I stayed in ministry is because the Lord come talk to me. And I was told in Bible school, the only way you're going to stay in ministry is if you have an encounter with God himself. Yeah. You will not go into ministry and take all the, I don't know what word to use, all the stuff that happens, camera's on me, and you won't take it. Like I said to me, one day I said to me, I don't have to take all this stuff. You know, I'll tell them what to do. Then I remember what God said to me, the Lord said to me, you're going to ministry, whether you like it or not. I'm serious. So here's Paul. Jesus has talked to him. You're going to the ministry, and now you're going to talk to a lot of people. I know you're going to have a lot of trouble, but I'm going to be with you. So he's now, years later, he's on the ship going across to where he's supposed to go. He's appealing to Caesar. And they run across this horrible storm at sea, and there was no light, no stars, no moon, darkness, just pitch black. And the Bible says they lost hope. When all hope was gone, the Bible says, everybody said, we're going to die. And an angel came, talked to him. Listen, Paul, you know, everybody's going to be saved in here. No, not one person's going to die. Everybody's going to be alive if they follow the instruction. But you remember that owner of the ship didn't believe Paul. He had cargo. There's all kinds of business stuff, contracts that you take all this stuff across the nation to another nation, and it had all this material and everything else. They lost the ship. Imagine what the ship costs. And all the cargo and all the merchandise and everything else, all the business stuff, they lost everything. I don't know if they had insurance, but they lost everything. Can you imagine that? And they lost all hope. Now we said, we're going to lose everything, and we're going to die too. The Bible says after many days, how much can you take after many days of being pounded by a bad storm? I'm talking about the storms of life here. Yeah. How many hours, how many months are you going to take? You say, I'm not taking this anymore. And people come to that part of their life where they say, I'm going to end my life now. That's it. They lose hope. There's no healing. There's nobody coming in. There's no messenger coming for me. There's nobody going to give me a word. This is it. I'm going to die. And they lost hope. And God sent an angel to Paul. Listen, this no one's going to die. But we all come to a place in our lives, sometime in our lives, where we lost hope. I was there. I was there. When I walked on the Cumberland Street, I lived over here on the Salvation Army. I went to school from the Salvation Army over here. Went to school from there. I had no aunties here. I had no uncles. Well, I had one uncle. He was in jail. He was staying with me at the Salvation Army. And I remember the day I walked over to the Lakehead Psychiatric Hospital where I wanted to go. That was another during the lifetime. I said, just lock me in. I lost all hope. I lost hope. I had nothing. I just had nothing to live for. Nothing to live for. And look where I am today, what God did in my life. Amen. Took away the addiction, amen? Took away the addiction of alcohol and the lifestyle of being depressed every day, my friend. Every single day I was depressed. Every single day after day after day after day I was depressed. No money. No money to buy food in the city constantly. I was always scraping for money. I was trying to get somewhere. I was trying to hitch a ride somewhere. I couldn't read a book. I couldn't understand. And if I read something, I'd forget it immediately. I didn't know I had PTSD, XYZ, whatever they call them things. I had all that. I could have nightmares for years and years, nightmares. And I was full of anxiety, full of fear. I would sweat every single day, every single night. I'd be sweating. My heart would be pounding. I'd think I'd be dying every day, but I didn't die. I would sit in my classroom sometimes. I would take a panic attack and have to leave the classroom and find somewhere where I can go and pretend that I'm okay. I was suffering in silence. My mother was stayed in the home like those the residential school all her life. My mother. I was raised by my mother, who was a very sick woman. I didn't know she had mental health. I never saw my mother a day in her life. She was always sick. She was drug addicted and alcohol addicted. And I didn't have hope. If they didn't get better, where's my future? And that's when you started with the first gospel, the hope of the gospel. I went to psychiatrists. I went to doctors. I went to counselors. Thank God for the help I had with their social workers. A nice social worker took me out of the Salvation Army. Said, "You know, we want to help you. A good social worker said, we want to help you. There's a program coming on. Would you be part of that? It's a pilot program. Get involved in that group." It was a 3-month program. I teach it today. I run the program today. I didn't know I'd run something like that today. They always ask me, "Roman, we want you to come back. We want you to teach this program. You're the guy. You're the guru of social work. You're the guru of life skills groups in the city and the college here. We want you to run it." That's nice, but, I need a break once in a while. I got to do a gospel meeting. I got to do this. This is what I'm called to do. And so, can you imagine? I felt that way every day that I was going to die. And I went to the LPH and said, I got no reason to live anymore. I'm going to end my life. It's like Raymond, my cousin Raymond. He tells me the story, and he said, he said he's going to, today I'm going to kill myself. I end my life today. I'm going to do it. So the first thing, I'm going to talk to the priest. So he went over to the priest over here downtown, knocked on the door, said, I'm going to end my life today. I need to talk to somebody. The priest said, "Well, listen, I'm just cooking my dinner. Come back some other time." And that's what he said. And he said, "I'm downtown. And suddenly I hear music downtown. Man, that sounds good." He said, "I listened to that music, and I followed that music from downtown Port Arthur. And I came right up to 70 Secord Street, come to the door. I walked in. I didn't know my cousin was the pastor of that church." He got saved. He said, "I went there. I got born again. Jesus came into my life. And he said, I felt so happy. I had a smile on my face. I'm smiling permanently, like Joker. He said, I'm walking down the Secor Street with a smile on my face. I see some drug guys coming down, drug dealers that I buy from, and I'm smiling. I didn't want them to think I was laughing at them, so I looked away. They said, you should have told them, you know what? I found some good stuff, man. Woo! It's called the gospel pill. Amen, eh? And he got born again. But how many people know the devil wants to come back where he's been before, and we need to get Raymond back? How many of you are going to pray for Raymond and believe there's a hope for Raymond? I should have saw more hands than that. Well, but we have to believe. We need that kind of hope today. We need the hope to expect God. The Word of God tells us that hope is a real thing. This is just what's running in my mind. That over in Romans chapter 4, let's go to Romans chapter 4. I guess we can close with that because it's getting late here. This is going so good, I kept going. I didn't want to stop because when the anointing is there, you don't stop. And if someone wants to go home, you go home. I don't mean that, mean. I'm saying if you got other things, we're going to close here though. We will close. You know, if you ever been to Kenneth Copeland's meeting, you don't care about the watch. You just sit there for 2 hours. That's after the worship and praise. And then the prophecy comes. See, she knows when to close. Who's that? No. An angel. There's an angel there. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. See, the hope is God has already prepared everything for you. Yeah. I didn't know when I was watching Billy Graham on television and I heard the gospel. I was going to church every Sunday. I prayed every day, got on my knees every morning, got on my knees every night, talked to Jesus, talked to God, but I didn't have faith. I knew about God. I wasn't born again yet. I didn't ask Jesus to come in my life. I knew about God. I knew about the Bible. But I made a decision. Jesus, oh, I need you. Come in my life, Jesus. I meant it. Just like the big book said about that Bill Wilson. For the first time in my life, I wanted God. Before I was playing church and I was playing spirituality. But this time I meant it. I meant it, man. I meant it for the first time in my life. Oh, man, that changed my life. Yeah, I was doing good. I was graduate of school, had 2 cars out there, had a nice apartment, had a nice home. I was dating girls. Woo, great. Money in my pocket. But I was so unhappy. Yeah. I said, God, I need you. And Billy Graham came over and said, listen, if you want to get saved, you can get saved right now. I said, I need it. I want to pray. I prayed. He led us in prayer, and I cried, and I felt so good. My life changed. I was born again. Ever since that time, I've been over here doing this. Verse, he said, before whom I have made thee a father of many nations, God already did something in his word. He told Abraham, this is what I'm going to do. I make a covenant with you. I'm going to do this. Whatever God told Abraham is symbolic of what he told us because we are children of Abraham. Everybody believes in Jesus. According to Galatians 3, everybody is a child of Abraham, a child of faith. And what he told Abraham belongs to you and me. Yeah. And so before him, whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things as being not as though they were. God will call you what you're not right now in the natural. That's your hope. When God appeared to Gideon, Gideon was afraid. He didn't think much of himself. He said, who am I? When the angels appeared to Gideon in Judges chapter 6, Gideon, hello, you're a great champion of God. You're a mighty champion. He said, who are you talking to? Looking around, who are you talking to? You talking to me? Yeah, I'm talking to you. He said, you're a mighty man of valor. You're a champion. And he was hiding on his hiding from the enemies. Yeah. Like people today are hiding from the devil. They're afraid of the devil. They're afraid that he confessed healing. They're afraid the devil is going to attack. Oh, I confess healing. He's going to attack me now. They should. He said, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the devil right now. Where is he? And that's where you got to be strong in the Word of God. Amen? Now, you have to be strong in God. You know who you are in Christ. And he says, you're a mighty man of valor. And he said, no, I'm not. He said, yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. I'm just a poor little, my family's so poor. All the poor people call us poor. So he's so poor. He said, we're small and we're significant. And God, if you're real, where's all the miracles our ancestors talk about? You know? Isn't that real today? He said, oh, yeah. They're real, all right. So Abraham, God called Gideon a champion before he ever was. God called Moses a deliverer before he was ever a deliverer. God called Isaiah and said, you're a man of pure faith and a man of God. You're a prophet. He said, who are you talking to me? Everybody that God called, God already set it up for them. And God's called every one of you. There's a hope for every one of you to be what you're really not right now. He wants to call you as though you were right now. He's already set it up. And I know there's going to be obstacles. I know you're going to have a hard time. Just like Paul, he had a hard time. I had a hard time. I'm having a hard time. But I'm keeping going. I made a commitment that I'm going to stay as a pastor. God called me to be a pastor. He didn't say become a carpenter. I'm not a carpenter. I don't lay carpet. Everybody else does but me. I don't fix lights. There's an electrician right over there. Play music, whatever people do in this place. You know, I don't dance like him. Glory to God. Verse 18. I want to close at verse 18. You say, go ahead, close. Okay. Who against hope believed in hope? Two kinds of hope. There's natural hope and Bible hope or spiritual hope. Natural hope only goes so far. It's how much money you got, how much strength you got, how much education you have, how good looking are you, what kind of shoes are you wearing, what kind of clothes are you wearing, how tall are you? Natural hope believes in all those things, but Bible hope says, no, don't matter. I'm short, but I'm stronger on the inside, I'm taller on the inside. I don't have money right now. But I do have it over here. Where is it? It's in my heart. Yeah. And that's what makes you strong. That stabilizes you. And the Bible says in Hebrews that it tells you in there that hope anchors your soul. Hallelujah. Hope stabilizes you. Hallelujah. When the waters of life, when the storms of life hit you, you're going to be anchored in the Word of God. I'm not moving. I ain't moving. I'm immovable. Like you said in 1 Corinthians over there. I think in chapter 2, 57 or 357. Immovable faith. Always abounding faith. Moving ahead and not being moved away from what God called me to do. We need to stay in that. Who against hope? Abraham did not have any natural hope that he was going to be a father of many nations. The man is 100 years old. His wife is 90 years old, well past bearing children. And he had, and they talked, an angel said, your wife is going to have a baby next year about this time. And she's listening to it. She starts laughing. Just like some of you, when God tells you something that you can't believe, you start, I can't believe this. Roma, a pastor, prophet? People laugh at themselves. And the angel tells him, what you laughing? What your wife laughing about? Hey, what are you laughing about? I ain't laughing. I saw you laughing. No, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. See, this is Bible hope. I'm talking about Bible hope. So real hope, you get that from the Bible. It tells you what your future is like. It's a blueprint. It's a blueprint. Oh, I see it. Woo, where that auditorium is. Praise God. Amen. We got an auditorium. Did you see the auditorium out there? Huh? It's a huge auditorium. Did you see that youth center out there? Did you see the women's center? For addictions? They're out there? It's out there. I see it. So you have to see it. When I was upgrading, I didn't have grade 12. I didn't have grade anything. I saw myself walking on a platform with my gown on, getting my stuff, grabbing my diploma, grabbing my degree. I didn't have a grade 12. I saw myself. It's the blueprint. It was the aim I had. Is where I was going. Hope thou in God. Yeah. Amen. Everybody stand up. Praise God. Woo. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, blessed be God forever. Glory to God. Lift your hands. Begin to bless God because your hope is in God. Oh, Jesus, we praise you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you for the word of God tonight. Thank you for the word of God. We praise you for the word, the mighty, majestic word of God. Oh, you're absolutely amazing. You're wonderful, Lord. You're so excellent. Thank you for preparing a place, making a life great for us. You choose us before we were ever born. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be God forever. Glory to God. Everybody pray in the Holy Ghost for about 30 seconds. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's see what God would say to us. If you can pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, Ramasan. The Bible said when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you pray the perfect will of God, Lord. Oh, blabba kishili man. Naka. Shide amo soto. Omona kasiteya. Eni me kiso no. Oh, shia makasa leki. Sinde damasa da. Ori mi shite ama kasam balakosho tokoro dishkiti. Shokolo mosinere mi ala kasata bakosha lebakas kesiti. The Lord is saying, some people is letting their dream pass them by. The dream cannot be grasped until you get the word of God in you. Some are walking right past their dream. Some the dream just passed by them. God said, if you just get your word in, begin to believe and build on it, yeah, it'll come to pass. The word will make it into manifestation. The word will bring it into operation. So begin to get the word and aim your faith in the direction of that blueprint that you see in your heart. Begin to grasp it and say, I have it, it's mine, I believe it. I'm preparing my place. The Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. That hope that doesn't come into manifestation makes people sick, makes people disappointed, the Bible says. People get sick because they don't get their hope. But the Bible says, oh, when hope is done, happy is that person. Begin to get into the Word of God and begin to believe God and begin to say, Lord, I put my hope in you. I put my trust in you. I'm confident in you. I'm expecting in you. I'm relying on you. I'm depending on you. Thank you, Lord. With every eye closed, every head bowed, I want everybody that's here right now, close your eyes, bow your head. I want to ask you right now, if you had your hope broken and shattered, I want to pray for you right now. I'm going to pray that God will restore your vision. Restore your hope of what you dreamt of. I want you to get out of your chair right now, stand right in front of me right now, and unabashedly, unashamedly said, I'm going to restore my hope. Tonight is my night to restore my hope. If that's you, I want you to come right now. Do not be afraid. So what people are going to think of me? I don't care what people think about you. This is your faith. This is your belief. Get out of that chair right now and stand right before me right now. I'm going to pray with you right now. And God will restore your hope and your vision. Just get up here right now. I don't care where you are. If God spoke to you and he said something to you, you need to get up here right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for people responding to your word tonight. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want you to pray in the spirit, those of you. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. 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 Everybody say, God, I believe in you. God, I'm bringing my heart, my vision to you. Maybe my heart's been shattered. Maybe I've been disappointed. Maybe I've been neglected that vision. So tonight I'm resurrecting it. I'm giving you my heart and restore my vision. Restore what I see. Help me to see what you see about who I am. So thank you tonight, Lord, that my vision is restored. I'm receiving it right now by faith. I'm receiving my vision right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. I'm going to lay hands on you and believe when I touch you. That caps off the ministry in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There goes the anointing of God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Restore the vision. 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 Thank you, Lord. Are you born again? You born again? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. What is your name, sweetie?
Debbie,
good to see you, Debbie. Blessing. Praise God, sir. Restore. Restore that vision. Restore that vision. Restore the vision. Oh, the plans and the purpose of God for your life are mighty. Are mighty. Oh, there's much in store for you in the next few months. Oh, the travel and the plans and the dreams. Oh, God, my Gama Shiki Alama son, things that you never imagine on your own. Oh, don't think about those natural things. Begin to think on the things of God and make those things come to pass by beginning to dream what he has in store for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Dream restored in the name of Jesus. Dream restored in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say, let's say, thank you, Lord. My dream shall come to pass. I have it now. I'm trusting. I'm expecting. I believe it shall be according to what he said. I believe my heart speaks to me. God speaks to me through my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Let's give these guys a hand. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.